Thank you very much. Today I'm going to talk about how we can better utilize soybean variety testing. Really, I say soybean variety testing information, but I'm really talking about any variety testing information better than we're doing now. I think those of you that are involved with variety testing recognize how useful it is to growers. It's extremely useful to growers. That's probably one of the highest demanded piece of information we have. What Drew said earlier about their small grains is very true. If we would stop doing that, we would get tremendous amount of problems coming from our growers and a lot of feedback, negative feedback. But I've been told this many times, there's no scholarship in these efforts. And so when there's no scholarship in these efforts, your administrations, this is being told by my administrators, whether they're evaluating your annual report or a P&T document, there is a problem with that. So we have to figure out a better way of doing this. So what I want to do, and really my theme for today, is there's really more that can be learned than just our annual reports from this. We can improve and we can be better recognized for our efforts in this by our administrators. So today I'll be talking about the problem that I've experienced with it. And by the way, I think I'm in my 21st year at Virginia Tech. Before that, I was an extension specialist doing variety testing at University of Nebraska. And then before that, Texas A&M. So I'm kind of giving you a history of this. And I'm going to tell you about my experience in Virginia. And then I'm going to offer some solutions. I'm not going to offer these solutions, but some of these. So, you know, first of all, let's just go through, you know, the real problem. Why do we conduct these tests? Extremely useful information. Varieties change fast today. Soybean varieties used to be like, you know, small grain varieties or public varieties. Now it's companies involved, and we'll rarely be able to test something for more than 2 years before something comes out. It's really the most requested, that, and still pest management information is probably our most requested information. It's expected. In our state in Virginia, the extension specialists with commodity responsibilities are required to conduct the variety testing for that commodity. We don't have one person conducting all variety testing. And it gives them non-biased research, but there's non-refereed publications that come out, therefore no scholarship, even from our extension administrators. There's no scholarship in this. So I'll show you some examples of this, but there's a lot of work involved. Anybody that knows this, there's a lot of time, effort, and people involved with this, not only from just establishing the experiments, but also our extension part of it. We go out and promote this either through web or electronic or in-person sources. And one question I always ask about money, what are you doing with all this money you bring in every year? You know, I'll bring in, just for soybean, over $100,000 to test varieties. And every bit of it is spent to do that, long term with the equipment needs and so forth. But they don't understand, you know, you brought in all this money, where are the publications? And that's kind of what the, I'm 300 miles from our university. I'm in southeast Virginia Tech, up in the mountains, so there's a problem. So historically, it's not being recognized by our administrators, and I just mentioned that earlier, that maybe the big problem is the distance between campus, and really, most of our production area in the Mid-Atlantic's on this east coast. So two-thirds of that are in the coastal plain. That's where it's going to be, and we're, you know, 200 or 300 miles away from that, so maybe they don't get the interaction they have with that. So we put out publications, annual publications come out, and we have to, you know, we actually have a refereed extension system, but it may take 2 or 3 months. Well, everybody wants that information yesterday, so we're striving to get information to people by December, January. And still then it's late because many people have already ordered their seed, but there's no scholarship once again. And quite honestly, once you reflect on this, they are correct. Took me a while. I ignored it for a while, but after a while I said, you know, they're really right about this. There's no real scholarship in this. So let me tell you about my variety testing. We test full season and double crop. About half of our soybeans are double crop. So we have two separate tests per location. And I need to describe the situation here. I think the last slide with the radon map was great, but You know, our coastal plain runs here. That's where most of the production is. Piedmont area still have some soybean production, and then we have the mountains. The other thing we've got to understand, the climate doesn't change from north to south so much, but it really changes from east to west because there's a zero, sea level 0 feet here, goes on up several thousand feet in the mountains. So we have that situation. So my test is I conduct northern Piedmont's variety studies, northern and southern coastal plain, and then our most intensive agriculture is this eastern shore area, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and by the way, over 10% of our soybean production is in these two counties. And the amount of soybean production here is greater than the rest of Virginia and so forth. So we have to conduct this eastern shore location. So basically, here's my situation. Pre-tenure, way back when, I really focused on variety testing. That's what my farmers were asking for. I'm 70% extension, 30 research, and I went up for tenure, didn't make it. I spent two of my introductory 3 pages on extension, a lot on variety testing, didn't make it. Went up the second year, did just opposite, half page on extension, even though I'm 70% extension, 2 pages on research, and maybe one sentence about variety testing. Successful that way. So then after that, I woke up. I said, okay, I'm not going to focus on this that much anymore. So I changed, but then I kind of ignored it. I hired somebody else to do it and kind of ignored it. I reported on it, but that's about it. Then I recognized there's more potential going on. So here's our solution we took. And I'm going to show you 3 examples. We took variety test data and tried to get more out of it. We did that by looking at relative maturities, greatest yield potentials, selecting varieties based on yield potential. If you're irrigated, not irrigating, you got a good soil versus bad soil. And then we did some work with predicting reproductive stages. We were with fungicide, insecticide applications. All right, you got to tell me when R3 occurs because I'm farming 5 counties. I don't know when it's going to occur here and so forth. So we got all this data out of variety testing information. Here are the comments I have. What's the best maturity for my farm? How many fours? And we grow group 4s and 5s, some 3s, and even some 6s in the state due to our diverse climate. But it's mainly group 4s and group 5s in maturity. So which one should I plant? What percentage should I plant on my farm? Because with 2,000 acres of beans, you want to spread out harvest, even though we have full season and double crop production. Your variety test yields are greater than mine. You hear this a lot, but many people now are saying, well, yours is a lot less than mine. I don't believe your data. My soils are not as good than yours, or maybe they're better than yours. Well, I irrigate. You don't. And there's a reason I don't. What varieties should I use to win the yield contest every year, about this time of year? Why didn't I win the yield contest? All right, next year I want you to tell me which variety to do that. The data's there, but we've never really showed that. When will my soybeans flower? When will my soybeans reach the R3 stage? In other words, when do I need to put on my fungicides? Let's start with the maturity group work we did. Here's the original map. I won't say the original. It keeps getting modified. This was a map 15 years ago. Again, we're a group 4 and group 5 state. Well, this immediately says, well, I live here. I don't grow 5s. Okay. And this is a map that just came out this year by Connolly's group up in Wisconsin. They took all variety test data, and this is an excellent example. Both of these past examples are excellent examples of taking variety test data and drawing maps, okay? Well, once again, we're looking at a bunch of 5s in Virginia, and we're really shifting towards 4s for many reasons, even though not necessarily my variety test data doesn't really look at that. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details here, but this is basically what we did with the data, and I recognize this is small, so I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to show you the differences and quickly describe this. This is the yield balance, how many, and I got it in kilograms per hectare here due to this international meeting, but, you know, at these locations, this is our northern Piedmont, northern coastal plain, eastern shore, southern Piedmont, and Suffolk. So we're going from north to south here. Let me back up and show that again. So this is yield balance. How much more yield are we getting with various maturity groups? The blues are group 4s, the red are group 5s. So we did this to our data And you can see that, you know, in some locations the fives do better. This was an unusual one. We'll talk about that later. We've always, you know, recommended planting a five in here, but the fours do better. And this is something, yield probabilities, and I need to recognize my colleague, Dr. Parvez, a postdoc, that has really done this. Growers not only want to know which one does better, but how much percentage do I plant. So what we're talking about here is the probability of attaining equal or better yields, or the probability of attaining great yields. So we switched this to a probability focus as well. And we came up with these charts, but let me draw you a map. Remember that maturity group map we had? Well, there's the map that I think we're looking at. In the Eastern Shore, traditionally, you know, warm climate, but it's much cooler in the summer. I think that has something to do with it, and yield. So there's some factors happening here, so maybe that's my map. It's got to be useful for the farmer. We're even looking at publishing this information in an agronomy journal or something. We've got some drafts written. Now, should I select a different variety for different locations? Well, do I have a racehorse variety, or do I have what I call a mule? Some people call them yield contest varieties or stress tolerators. What I like to see is quarter horses, the ones that get up and go when you need them but ride all day on a ranch. That's the ones that doesn't really matter. So we took this data. Now, which one is this? I think you'll easily see this is the average yield for the location we tested variety. The variety yield at that location, in this case, this variety yields lower than average at low yield potentials, higher than average at the high yield potentials. So that's a racehorse. Here's a mule. It does just the opposite. At low yield potentials, it yields good, but high yield potentials, not very good. There's actually a mule too, but that's almost a quarter horse, but it gets classified as a mule variety. And there's Virginia, there's another variety that's what I call a quarter horse, and I got to advertise, you know, our breeding, and we got some that does well everywhere. So we've done that. We formed tables, and we put over here at 20, 40, and 60 bushel yield potential, how does this do based on those regressions? But notice that only a few of these are highlighted. These are the ones that are really significantly different. This slope's significantly greater than one. The rest of these are really quarter horses. We've only got one true racehorse there, and we could say the same thing about a mule. Very few of those. So this is data the farmers really latched onto, and we're also looking at publishing this either as a referee extension or journal. I think I got how much time I have?
A minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Let me say something about this. We went into our variety. Yep, that's what my phone is telling me. We went into our variety test, took the first 20 plots of that, and we kept those 20 plots across our locations, two different planting dates, and we said, let's go in twice a week and monitor the development stages. The plots are there. Let's hire someone, student, to come in twice a week and take these development stages. We did that and developed these tables. Again, it's hard to read on here, but let me blow it up a little bit, and you can see that I have different maturity groups, different planting dates, and how many days it took to reach those stages. Without going into a lot of detail on that, we also looked at how long it was in those key productive stages, but we developed a refereed extension publication. It was reviewed by two specialists in the nation, and two county agents, went through the same review type of review process. From that standpoint, it takes just as long, if not longer, with our extension system, because we've got one person doing this on campus. So summarize everything. There's the problem, variety testing. There's some solutions. So I should have titled this Better Variety Selection to be recognized for better scholarship.
Thank you, David.